I was praying over there, and something came over me, and I have prepared this for the end of my sermon, but it's on my heart, right? And I just want to share it with you guys. So, Jake, where are you at? There he is. The amount of time and effort that Jake has poured into me is overwhelming. And I am so grateful that I get to learn from someone like Jake Taylor. And it's not... It's not... It's not like right now we meet on Wednesday nights, right? But it goes way beyond that, right? It goes to where when I first came here 10 or 12 years ago or 8 or 9 years ago, him being in the class downstairs while I was down there, it's going through flight training, it's going on camping trips, it's him being there on a men's camp out, not just expecting the men of the church to be there, but him too being there. And I'm just so grateful to be able to learn under Jake Taylor, right? And I just cannot thank you enough, Jake. And the only thing I would add to this is, listen, church, as the church, right? Okay, so we love our kids, and so we pray for our kids, and we love our grandma, so we pray for our nanny. Listen, we are called to love our pastor and lift them up in prayer too. And so I would ask you to include Jake Taylor and his wife and his kids and Maywood as a whole into your prayers on a daily basis, right? Because I just believe that that's what we are called to do as a church. We are called to lift him up on a regular basis. Okay. I don't know where that came from. It was not planned. I truly believe that the Holy Spirit speaks to me sometimes, and people need to know, right? If there's someone in our life that we love and we cherish, then we need to let them know that. Because if we don't, sometimes they don't know it, right? So I think it's important, whether it's our wife, our kids, or whoever our loved ones are. Our friends, David Hughes. We're in praying the Psalms, continuing praying the Psalms. Is it Echo or is it me? It's me? See, I'm trying this different. No, that ain't me. That's... All right, so I got to my notes. Good morning, Maywood. let's jump right into it because we're having baptisms today. So much, right? So I want to share a story with you guys. I talk about my job a lot, right? But I spend a lot of time at my job over the last 40 years, right? So, and I love it, right? So I don't mean to continue to talk about my job over and over again, but it's kind of where I spend most of my time. So I go to work one day, and my job is to climb trees. So we get to the job site, and the guy I'm working for at the time, he's like, this is the tree you're going to climb, and it's a giant cottonwood tree. And anybody that knows anything about tree work knows that cottonwoods stink. They're ginormous, overgrown weeds that are the biggest tree in the Missouri area, right? So, and they're really weak. I hate them. I can't stand climbing them. Their bark is super big. You can't get comfortable. And so I go up in this tree, and all I have to do is make one cut, just one cut. But the thing about the cut that I make is when I cut it, it can't hit this stupid little tiny light. So what we do is we go up into the tree and we set ropes around and we tie the branch to it and we cut it and then it swings on the rope. Everything, we let it down real safe, nice and easy. And so I make the cut and the equipment that I'm using to rope the limb out of the tree breaks. So if you can imagine, like literally from here to my face is a metal carabiner. It broke and came back and hit me in my eye. And immediately I thought that I lost my eye. And so I'm not exaggerating, as high as that ceiling in the sky. I'm this eye, I think I've lost it, and this eye, I'm literally crying, right? Twice in the tree business I have cried as a grown man. That was one of them. I'm crying, so I can't see out of this eye. I'm that high up in the sky, and I have to get down on the ground. And so, long story short, tree trimmers are arrogant and prideful. And I am a number one offender because I am really good at my job. I can do it better than anybody you ever met in your life. Just ask me, I'll tell you about it, right? And so my pride is hurt because I made a decision that put my life in danger and it almost cost me my eye, right? So my pride is hurt. And so that evening I'm walking down Truman Road. I lived at the Maple House. That evening I'm walking down Truman Road and I'm mad at God, right? I'm mad at God. I'm yelling at God. I'm like, why did you let this happen to me? Why did you let this happen to me? I'm doing so good. I'm not doing drugs anymore. I'm not doing that stuff no more. Why did you let this happen to me? And I'm mad and I'm angry and I'm yelling at God as I'm walking down Truman Road. And somebody that was driving by probably thought that I was a nut, but that's par for the course for anybody you see walking down Truman Road. So I felt comfortable, right? My bad, y'all. Listen, we're going to put that on the back burner, okay? We're going to open our Bibles. Do we got my one slide? Nice. Okay, open your Bibles to Psalms, verse 1, chapter 100. Hey, listen, if you go out these two doors, boom, boom, and you turn around, you look at that wall, on that wall is a sticker that's been there since probably 1987. This one of these verses is that verse that's on that wall. So open your Bibles. I'll wait. Hey, y'all want to watch the game or not? All right. So it says verse 1. This is Psalms 100. Verse 1. Shout for joy to the Lord, all of the earth. Verse 2. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with a joyful song. Verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Next verse. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. I don't know what happened. Give thanks to him and praise to his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Oh, wow. Let that sink in for a little bit. His love endures for all generations. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning and I ask that anything that leaves my lips from this point forth that is given to me through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray that you fill up every heart and every human being that's in this room right now. I pray that you take control of this service and you allow people to come and know you just a little bit more. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that if anybody in this room does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that by the time we leave here, they do. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you just move in this room today. I am calling upon you, Lord. I'm believing you. I believe that the words in the Bible are true, Father God. I believe that when you told me that I could move a mountain, Lord, I believe that I can do that. I believe, Lord, that you have put me up here today to deliver a message, and I pray that you give me that message. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Double portion of the Holy Spirit, Father God. Okay, so here we go. Verse 1. Awesome. Verse 1. Shout for joy. Did you know that those three words, shout for joy, in that order, are in the Bible 32 times between Genesis and Revelations? 32 times the Bible tells us to shout for joy. Let me ask you guys a question. Hi, Matt. Hey, let me ask you guys a question. When's the last time, I get it, right? We got bills and family and car payments and child support and all this stuff and chaos going on in our life, and we want to show our wife how much we love her, and we got Christmas coming up, and don't you know how important those gifts are, right? Like, I get it. We got all that going on, right? But when's the last time you allowed yourself to be overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit enough to shout? Right? You're driving down the road, and a song comes on the radio, and you haven't heard it in a long time, and when it came out 7 years ago, and every time it came on, you will start to jump, and you start to feel the Holy Spirit, and you haven't heard it forever, and you turn the radio on, and it comes on, and you just forgot about all the stuff going on in your life, and you just begin to shout for the Lord. When's the last time you've done that? Thank you, Heather. Right? Hey, I'm just telling you what the book says. I'm just telling you what the book says. The book says shout. I know that sometimes I could be like a fire hose going down your throat. I don't mean to be that way, but you should see me watch a Chiefs game. You would understand. Verse 2. Worship the Lord. Hey, listen, I'm going to explain something to you. This is my belief, okay? I don't think you can base what worship is based on somebody's body movements or words that are in a song, right? John, the fourth chapter of the book of John teaches us that true worship, fourth chapter of the book of John teaches us that we will worship in spirit and truth, right? So here's the thing. I think worship is a state of mind. But more importantly than that, I think that true worship is a heart condition. Right? I think Daniel was trying to hit on that a little bit earlier when he was up here, right? It's a heart condition. When you come before the Lord, right, it don't matter if you're singing a song, right? Or if you're just saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Where is your heart at in that moment? Because I promise you, if your heart matches the words that's coming out, you're not going to be standing there like this. You're not. There's no way the Holy Spirit makes you worship the Lord. So, did you know this? Worship the Lord in those orders, worship the Lord appears 100 times from Genesis to Revelations. 100 times the breathed, spoken word of God calls us to worship the Lord. So I'm going to ask you again, when's the last time you just let go and worshiped the Lord? Just in case you don't know, the last Thursday of the month, if I'm correct, they come here to this building and worship the Lord on Thursday nights. Worship the Lord. Again, it's not me telling you. It's the breathed word of God. Okay. 11:42. I hope that clock's 5 minutes fast. We'll just pretend it is. Okay, listen. The next verse says, know that the Lord is God. Know that the Lord is God. I'm gonna be real quick with this story, okay? So one time I was in Colorado, and there was something that I wanted to do that evening, but the vehicle that we were using to go do the thing, it had a lower radiator hose that we had expanded, and it was going to explode. And so rather than do what was smart and take the time for the engine to cool off, I thought I could crawl underneath there like so, and real easy get that screw off of there and take that radiator hose off, and the 230 degree antifreeze in there would miss me. And guess what happened? It didn't miss me. Okay? It burned my entire arm off. And so, because I'm an idiot, right? After that happens, I get on a Greyhound bus and I ride from Fort Collins, Colorado to a place called Ranger, Texas. It took 3 days. When I got there, this is, okay, if you put your hand in a fire, it burns your skin off. If you are chemically burned by chemicals, It does not stop burning just because you wash it off. It continues to burn your flesh and your muscle underneath your skin. Okay, so here's the thing. I tell you that story because I know with everything inside of me that 238 degree antifreeze will burn your freaking arm off. I know that. Just like the way that I know without a shadow of a doubt, the God that I serve hung the stars and the moon in the sky. The God that I serve created the Grand Canyon. The God that I serve made it possible for us to invent something called asphalt so we can drive the cars that he allowed us to invent on the road, right? I believe with everything in me, the same way that I know that antifreeze is hot is the same way that I know that Jesus is real and the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. I know it because I know it. Man, I wish I had some water. Son of a gun. We got spittle just coming everywhere. Thank you, Justin. Got it. Like I know, right? Like I know. I got good news and I got bad news. Bad news is, I don't know if you're going to catch the first quarter of the game. Good news is, we're playing the Panthers and it really don't matter. Hey, listen. Okay, so we're going somewhere with this, right? Thursday's Thanksgiving, right? So here's the deal. Show of hands, how many's married or have someone that lives with them that they love? Okay, it works. So here's the deal. If I come home, okay, so the way it works in my house, and this is by design, right? I go to work. My wife is a stay-at-home mom and a wife, and that's the way we choose to live our life. So I come home from work, and my clothes are folded. The house is clean. She does this stuff to be my wife, right? She gives to me, and I give to her. But if I don't recognize or show her that I recognize the stuff that she does, guess what I'm doing? I'm not being grateful. And guess what's going to happen if I'm not being grateful to the one that helps me do this life? She's going to stop helping me, right? And so because we love, we can understand, right? This is earthly terms. This is human terms. We love the person that we're with. We want to show them gratitude when they do things for us. Why wouldn't we want to do that with Jesus? Why wouldn't we want to do that with Jesus? Of course we do. He's the reason we're breathing, y'all. Okay, real quick. Whew. Okay, so believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, right? So where is being thankful fall in line? I mean, like, I'm not saying it's up here and it ain't down here, but here's the problem. We think like, oh, being grateful. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not trying to create a box for you to check. That is not what I'm doing. Right? Is she having a seizure? It's okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray to you right now in the name of Jesus that you help out the situation. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Right now, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Doug will be in charge and he'll take care of it. And we've prayed and we're going to keep going.
Keep going?
Yeah, but Doug will take care of things.
Okay. Thank you, because
hey guys, I'm gonna help Mike out a little bit here. So we're blessed with Doug, who's a paramedic, and we've kind of got Doug in charge of things up front. Okay, so God's blessed us with that, and we've prayed together, right? That's what we can do, and we know God's at work, and we're trusting Doug to kind of guide things right now with the family. So thank you for that. And Mike, I know you got a lot of good stuff for us. I know the Panthers game's not too important, but if I can help out.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm gonna
pray.
No, I'm gonna be right here with us.
Okay.
So I know a little bit where we're headed.
Okay, so here's where I was at. Listen, we don't like come to church and pray and read our word every day, and then all of a sudden Satan just come along and go, boom, and it all ends, right? That's not how it works. What happens is he's sneaky. He's a conniver. He is the father of all lies. And so what he'll do is he'll slip his little finger, his stinky little devil finger, into our lives by doing something we won't even notice, like stop thanking Jesus on a daily basis. Like stop recognizing that what he's doing in our life, right? Like the little things. Listen, at my job, if a crew member is doing the little things wrong over and over and over again, guess what's coming? A big thing, a real big thing. Right? So gratefulness is not the most important thing that we need to be doing all the time. But if we are not grateful towards the Lord for the things that he does in our life, I promise you that stinky old devil will slip into our lives. And before you know it, we'll wake up on a Sunday morning and we'll say, I don't feel like going to church today. I don't want to drive that far. I don't need to pray today. I don't need to read the word of God today. And then before you know it, our life is a mess and we're right back where we started, trying to say, please help me get everything back that I just lost. Right? Okay. So, verse 5, for the Lord is God, and his love endures forever. Let me ask you guys a question. Has forever happened yet? Nope. Pretty sure it hasn't. Guess what? We're still in forever. So his love endures for us, right now, okay? It says, through all generations, right? Guess what? I'm not even the last generation. I got a son. That's the next generation, right? Matter of fact, I got two sons. Each one's a different generation. So guess what? We're not to the end of the generations yet. So his love is still coming. His love is still on us. Because he said it right there, through all generations. And we ain't to the end of the generations, so he's still loving on us. Okay, so let's rewind just a little bit. So I'm walking down the street and I'm yelling at God and I'm asking him, how come me? Why me? And then kind of paint the picture. We all know Truman Road. So Truman Road, right? So you go gas station, bridge, Van Horn, Maple House, right? So I'm on this side of the road, and there's a gentleman on that side of the road. And we're walking, I'm walking towards the bridge. He had just came over the bridge, and he's about somewhere between the ages of 50 and 70. He's got a beard down to here with leaves in it. He's got a stocking hat with his hair sticking out all scraggly underneath of it. And he's pushing what appears to me to be a baby stroller with everything that he owns in that stroller. And despite the mood that I'm in where I'm cussing out the Lord, I look over to him and I said, "Hey, do you need a cigarette or something?" "No thanks, I don't smoke." "Okay. Hey, is there anything you need?" That old man walking down the street with everything that he owned looked me dead in my eye from across Truman Road and said, "Could be worse." Oh my goodness, are you freaking kidding me right now? The Holy Spirit overcame me like you would not believe, right? I begin to shout, I begin to worship. I knew in that moment that God was real and that his love was in me and it was going to endure forever. I knew it. The Holy Spirit came over me. Here I am. I got 3 months clean. I got a job making $300 a day. I got food in my freaking little refrigerator at the Maple House. I got all this good stuff going on. And the moment something goes wrong, I say, "God, why me? Are you kidding me?" The Lord smacked me upside the head with the Holy Spirit and took over in that moment. And he says, "Son, I got you. I got you. It's going to be okay. What are you crying about?" Right? So let me ask you a question. I don't want you to answer me, but we are coming up on Thanksgiving. Right? We are coming up on Thanksgiving. What are you thankful for this year? What are you thankful for? I don't want to hear that you're thankful for your new car. I want you to think about your heart condition. I don't want you to be thankful because you got a new job. I want you to think about where the Lord is in your heart on this day. Where has he been this year in 2024? Where do you want him to be in 2025? Think about that and begin to praise and worship and know that he is God. And he hung the stars. This is how cool God is, you guys. I thought about this week. You're gonna think it's weird, right? Food and air go in the same hole, and somehow, some way, we don't choke to death. How is that possible? Right? My brain does not differentiate from food and air, but they go in here, and somehow I'm still living, and I don't choke, mostly, right? Oh. My sermon was supposed to end with me telling you guys how grateful I am for Jake. I'm grateful for you too, because you lend me him. You don't have to do that, right? Hey, here's the thing, you guys. I believe and look, I know what God called me to do. Okay? So I am grateful for Jake. And I'm grateful for you, and I'm grateful for this church, but this is, it's not what they do that I'm grateful for. It's what I get to do because they do for me, because you do for me. You allow me to come up here, at least so far. I don't know if anybody's came to Jake and said, "Hey," right? Maybe he just ain't told me, but here's what it is. God came to Noah and he said, "Build that boat. And I'm going to put a giraffe and a sheep, and I'm going to put two of a kind. I'm going to put you and your kids and your wife on there, and I'm going to kill everybody else." He didn't get to say, "Hey, cousin Tom, if you believe that the rain's coming, you get to get on the boat." He didn't say that. He said, "Put you, your kids, your wife, and the animals on the boat, and I'm going to kill them all." We have a choice today, ladies and gentlemen. My dearly beloved, my church, we have a choice. We don't got to get on the boat and watch them drown. We can tell him to come. Come get on the boat with us because he's coming. He's coming. I grew up in the church. I've been hearing that for 44 years. He's coming. He's coming. I don't know when he's coming, but I can promise you this. Every minute that passes, it gets 1 minute closer. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is real. He died on the cross for your sins. And if you believe in him, you get to go to heaven and spend eternity with him. And if you don't, then what's going to happen is not no good. I'm telling you right now, that's why I'm grateful. Because I get to learn how to stand up here and tell you that Jesus is coming. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to come to you right now and pray over our congregation. I want to pray over our church. I just pray that you continue to do awesome things through Maywood Baptist. I want to pray that you be with each and every person that is here today and bring them back next week. In Jesus' name I pray. And we all said, amen.